And I know you have sort of seen feminism in Europe in the context of both Italy, Spain, also the UK. What sort of sticks out to you as sort of like the key points there?
So, I think that we have a problem when basically things like ideologies move through different countries and people completely misunderstand them. I think it takes a minute for us to realize. In Spain, I'm just going to give you an example, like the protest on March 8th got split up into two because a huge part of the movement is trans and sex work. But then some people who are willing to be fight for rights and fight for sex worker rights, which probably should be all of us, but I suppose we think that being a colonial face is kind of the end all be all. And my experience that really doesn't lead anywhere, and I only think the fact that this protest got split up is a result of that. Another protest that got split up was the one from Labor Day. Basically, the unions marched separately from smaller unions that were kind of migrant workers, domestic workers, these smaller groups of anarchists, unionists, etc. And basically, I think both of them have issues, because to be honest, the bigger ones are pretty much in bed with the government, so there's not a lot of progress in there. And the smaller ones just are so fragmented that I don't really see any possibility of victory. And I think the level of resentment towards the government is far too much. So we have to find a way to work together, and I just don't see... I think there's a problem when there's this level of resentment towards each other and just to the point where you march separate. Frankly, I think both sides need to do some work. But basically, what you were asking in terms of delay, so I studied comparative literature, and it was a testament for how in a lot of universities, to be honest, Marxism is just a taboo thing, or like it's widely regarded as outdated. And it's kind of replaced by, it's not just postcolonial theory, because I'm sure, look, there are interesting points, but ultimately a lot of postcolonial theory, again, not all, hashtag not all, but like a lot of it is a word salad, again, and it kind of ends up producing a lot of guilt tripping and sentiment, even in between these young D-class students, who, if they don't become, you know, the DMC, and honestly, I don't think that many do become that, like, I think the situation is really bad.
Yeah.
But instead of being better, we are literally in a house to each other. Like, it was insane, to be quite honest with you guys, and it really worried me, because I got there, and it really took me a long time to adhere to any sort of leftist, you know, part of the equation, because I felt like I was being watched constantly, and like people were waiting for me to make any sort of mistake. And bear in mind, I was 19. So, yeah. You are going to make mistakes. Like, you just are. Yeah. And I remember I was really suffering with my housing options. I remember being shocked and being profoundly outraged. And the response from, you know, many of my classmates, again, it's not all, but a lot of them, the response was, get it together. What are you complaining about? Other people have it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I had a problem, I don't know, with a dude or just... when I just existed, they came up with these priorities of like, you need to look more edgy, you should probably dye your hair pink, and also this guy is just abusing you and you should just never fall in love again. Like, I'm obviously exaggerating, but not that much. Like, it really was policing of your right life, your desires, your ritual behaviors. And then when actual issues that you have, you know, expected so much genuine rage and organizing out of, it will just get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that worries me, to be honest. Like, because every account of people that I trust confirms that this is not a meeting. It's just I experience what seems to be the norm, especially on young people.
Yeah,
it's interesting because like I had a similar experience, like because at university I studied philosophy, and I actually like focused on political theory and post-colonial theory. So like I went through that world, and came out the other side of Marxist, which was very rare. Most people went the other way, but you know I think it's really important for folks who aren't familiar. Like we're talking about post-colonialism, we're talking about like post-colonial theory, and like a lot of that is like inherently anti-Marxist and very much anti like class as like a universal category rather than a particular one. And it's one that like it's a political, I think you're right about like there's a lot of jargon and stuff in there, so you have to spend a lot of time even being able to understand what's being argued if there is anything deeper. But beyond that, it's like it overemphasizes, in my opinion, like the role of the university. And you can see why it's something that's very popular in, you know, humanities departments right now, because all the cultural production, you know, the arguments like all the cultural production that are happening in the university are like reflected across society. And, you know, instead of recognizing, you know, the fund, like people don't like capitalism, though, I think is fair to say, but like not as much from like a kind of Marxist anti-capitalism. It's just like it's consumerism, it's McDonald's, it's things that we don't like. You know, we don't have a TV.
Kind of instead of class.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Like it's classism instead of class.
Yeah, yes, yeah, classism, yeah. So the problem with capitalism is that it makes poor people feel bad sometimes, right? Versus like that it exploits working people's labor, right? No, and it's like, and it's sometimes I think can be hard to recognize when folks are coming from that perspective if you're not really familiar. But like, yeah, it sort of reduces like the struggle between workers and capital to, yeah, you know, a purely social and cultural fight versus like a very clear material and economic one. And I think it's, again, like this is why I think being able to do like cross-national, like political comparison is really crucial, because like we see the same thing in America. You see the same thing in Spain. You see the same thing in the United Kingdom. Like this is a fundamental reality of like the left more broadly, at least in Western Europe and in the US right now. And we see like the social effects that we go through suck, but it's not the worst, right? The worst thing is like the weakness of the left to be able to build any kind of political movement to challenge capital. And all across Western Europe, all across the United States, they're all sort of falling into this trap, I think. And it's hard to find ways to sort of mobilize our way out of it. Other than I think just trying to return to doing class and local, grassroots kind of politics, because the people who get successful and have platforms right now, you know, at least in the US, like I don't know how influential NGOs and stuff like that are in Spain comparatively, but like, you know, the NGO world has like a tremendous amount of influence over politics on the left in the US, and it's been very bad for building working class movements.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely from the Spanish anti-racist movement, there's definitely a critique of NGOism, which has been huge here, as still is. But then, you know, they critique that, and then, like, we have to organize ourselves, and until you're at that point, yeah, that's exactly. But then a lot of these people, what they mean is we have to organize ourselves by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it becomes like, okay, here we are, like, basically the alternative. You know, because the ideas move through the US, the UK, and then they get here, people, I think, still haven't understood where this leaks. And fundamentally, what is happening is that this kind of like super outdated feminism, which is everyone's country, like obsessively everywhere. But it's like, it's getting to a point where the hegemonic one is now becoming the more anti-racist. Is it really? It's like the most kind of post-colonial, anarchist kind of feminism rather than more the one. And I'm seeing the process. The problem is that I would love to be happy about that, and I mean, it's an improvement. But I don't think people understand how easy it is to take that out for that kind of, you know, feminism to be taken over by feminism that is liberal, that is very Hillary Clinton. You know, they don't understand how easy it is for their new feminism to be taken over by the other one that they think they are moving on from. I think they don't realize how many similarities there are because precisely they haven't lived or they don't know, they haven't learned about, you know, the US or the UK. And to them, all of these anti-racist critiques sound very revolutionary and sound, you know, very leftist because we live in profoundly racist countries. And there's barely been any discourse like that here up until now. So obviously it does seem very new. The problem is we should also learn from, you know, what's happening in the US or in the UK. See that, to figure out what is the best way to tackle the problem. Okay, we realize we have this massive issue, but how do we tackle it? Mm-hmm. You know, what's gone wrong, what's gone right in these other countries that have had a more long-term anti-racist discourse or discourses, as you know, there's, like, as we know, there's many takes on the issue.
I know we want to get to indie media in just a second, but I wanted to ask you just because my friends in the UK, like, one thing that's interesting to me is, like, America, because it is such like a, like culturally, like we export a lot to the rest of the world. Friends of mine have told me like, that's very much the case on the left too, particularly like in like anti-racism. And one of my friends in London was, sent me a message the other day, just laughing because there's been a lot of popularity in using the American term BIPOC, right? Black, Indigenous, people of color, right? And the point there is to center Indigenous folks. But when you're doing that in the UK, it's like, who are you talking about, right? And, you know, it's not obviously the worst thing in the world, but it just shows that, like, a lot of this is, like, being exported. Like, this is exported, like, Americanisms being brought into completely different contexts. Not that there's not racism or things in other countries, but, like, American racism and that legacy is different from a Spanish one or, you know, or a UK one. And, yeah, I'm just curious if that's been any of your experience either.
100%. I mean, this is basically what I mean. Like, we have people dying here at sea, and yet we're talking about George Floyd, which obviously we should talk about that. Like, we are a U.S. ally, you know, we need to bring up, but again, we can take the focus back to where we are. And also, again, Lives Matter here is seen as something on the far left. And if you know the U.S., like, I feel like I know the U.S. because I've, you know, been for years. In London, I, you know, the U.S. has been part of kind of my focus in my life. And I, like, obviously, I'm not a big expert, but I do feel like I know enough to know that there are anti-racist thinkers, like Vivek Schubert or AOV, have much more useful things to say, in my opinion, here. So no, and things come from, like I said, from abroad, so you just assume all these new shiny things, it's gonna be the thing. But yeah, it is an export. Like, I genuinely think it is my next work for the most part. Like, obviously, there's nuances from here, but overall, a lot of copy-paste. Mm.
Wow. Yeah, that's fascinating. To wrap up, let's talk a little bit about independent media. We had a big a boom here in the U.S. sort of in the wake of Bernie Sanders' 2016 campaign. You know, we're familiar with Progressive International, for instance, and Novara Media. I'm just curious what the sort of landscape looks like, Tiara.
Yeah, so Progressive International, I've written for them. Collaborated, etc. I like a lot of the stuff they're doing. I also think that there tends to be it's fine. And with them, and even with Pablo Iglesias now, who probably also knows. These are my thoughts, so it's fine, but I think a lot of these people, there is a tendency to focus on, for instance, how undemocratic XY judges are, or look what's happening to Julian Assange, or oh my god, the press, the media is ruining the left project. And I agree with all of that. I genuinely agree. I just, like, why are we focusing on that? Like, I just feel like the focus on it is far too much. I think it's definitely over the top in the sense that a lot of people wonder about how it's going. I think it's more of a, like, conversation rather than a first, the very new thing you approach people. And I think a message such as Bernie Sanders would probably be best in the sense that he really managed to tell you to have healthcare. For instance, right? That's something that everyone can relate to, whether they're interested in politics or not. Because when being in politics become a requirement for organizing, you don't need to be this much. So this is something that bothers me in general. And I have been seeing kind of some alternatives, especially in the UK. I think Novara Media is doing quite a good job. Because they have the very deep expertise, but they also really tackle, you know, the fact that people are just cold and having to and they're taking classes in order to improve their performance. So I think about that kind of thing is massively important. Actually, the kind of thing that I would go for in any political project that is formed by the working class. That would be kind of my number one priority. And they do that. Novara Media, I think, is generally great. I think Grace Blakely in the UK is really doing a great job with the Earl to Win podcast. I really love her. And then also, you know, there's this kind of, we want a world that is beautiful, not just that you can survive in. Like, I understand it well when he talks about luxury communism, which, again, you can really see, like, there's a lot of content in there, but I think the idea that we have to aspire to something, luxurious and, like, abundant, that is very important, I think, and they're definitely doing that. And then in Spain, look, it's what I was telling you guys before. I have a feeling that we don't really have many media that are independent, that are left, that have, like, a fixed ideology. I think disagreement is always good, it is always good, but when you are that eclectic and that kind of all over the place, if there's a lack of something like Jacobin, you know, or I feel like this type of thing is not really, I can't really find it here, and I don't like that. And there's not much in terms of multimedia stuff, so it's all written form, right? We have Notebook Mess, which is my shameless self-promotion, at CTXT, CTXT Contesto, which is also a Progressive International member, which is good because we get to, you know, like, it's good to have, I think, these coalitions to put something good from the Progressive International. We also have a lot of media content. I think the 25 is also an interesting project. Yeah. If you look at the policies, I think what they're proposing is quite interesting. They talk about, you know, migration of the youth, like the Southern European youth, the New Deal, etc. So that's interesting. And then we have a new project, which is called La Pública, from the Fundación Sentido Común, which they're doing quite interesting courses. I think they have this very mature mature attitude. Like, it doesn't feel doomed at all. It actually feels like it's democratic socialist in the sense that it goes beyond social democracy without falling into, you know, the tendencies we were talking about before. Huge fragmentation, huge essentialism, actually, I think, for the most part, so far at least. and I think that's good. I think that's good because, you know, a lot of these media that I see around in the US are like falling into very anti-Semitic narrative, and they become, you know, racers, like of the J.B. Dore type, and the grief, and we have that here. But it's exactly the type of project that avoids that, that has a good link between social, like unions, for instance, and governments, right? Like local governments, state governments. When I say something, the national.
Right.
Then there's Clara, is someone who's great. She actually talks about feminism in a way that is very refreshing and not feminism that is actually insulting. I think she's amazing. She talks about masculinity a lot as well, which I think is much needed. People need to be saved from Jordan Peterson. She's the best at that in terms of the gender analysis. Then there is Sobreta podcast. Verso Books is coming to Spain, and I'm really curious to see what you hear. And then in terms of people, I think there's, you know, Carrera, like I said, Owen, Martin, Mark Montevideo, Jorge Gámez, Mario Ríos, Javier Gil for Housing, Santiago Albarrico, Nuria Lavao. These people are really great. Obviously, there's not like a one media platform that they own. Great, I love it. But, like, you know what I mean? Scattered around, and it's not like I agree with everything they say, but overall, I think they're the most kind of mature that I can think of. And you can find a lot of them in, actually, it's in the Latin American. I'm not sure if they translated in English. I know some of them definitely are there. Then there's Publico, which is like the really big one, but again, super eclectic, and Pais is the more like raw one. And in Italy, honestly, guys, it's bad. It's bad. Italy.
Do you when thinking, like, because Notebook Mess, that is in Spanish. Do you have, like, do you think, like, I want to do this in Spanish? Do I want to do some in Italian? I want to do some in English? Like, how, as somebody who doesn't have the sort of, like, ability to have that sort of dilemma, how do you think about that?
So, I'm starting to do more in Italian. Now I haven't before. I'm planning on interviewing actually a journalist from Il Fatto Quotidiano, which is like one of the few kind of more independent Really, I mostly do it in Spanish. I wish I could do more in English, but there's a sort of, you know, we get more interested in them than they do in us. Obviously, not you guys, because I'm here, but and for understandable reason, like, the world is, like, your playground, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes in very bad ways, but, for an answering period, you know what I mean? It's, I mean, there's a, it's kind of sad, because I would love to do more stuff in English, but, yeah, if you're here, it's not that easy, but, again, I do feel like Spain really needs more. You guys have, in the US, it's a minority that I actually respect a lot in terms of lessons. But more so than in most countries, you have some people that are my favorite, honestly. And it's actually how I got into lessons media in the media. We don't have that here as much, nowhere near. So, you know, you do. I don't know how to bring here as much, but it's something that we should think about probably, you know, how to do something more unified and more mature.
Yeah.
You know, it feels profoundly juvenile.
Yeah, well, I have to say people should follow Tiare Gimora. I was happy to find Notebook Mess this spring because, you know, I've been waiting for things like this to emerge a little bit to, you know, try to inform ourselves and make ourselves a little bit better at our job. So it was great to see that. And yeah, people should definitely follow you, Tiare. Any other plugs you want to give?
I don't know, I'm definitely forgetting someone or something, like, for sure. But, yeah, I would say we need to have more, we need to work together more, because there's very few lessons that I think, and I love every lesson, I generally do, I say all of this with love, but I also think that precisely because I feel like we have the potential to be better. I feel like I need to say that, you know, we're not in good shape, or it's not. So I think part of that is working together and, yeah, having these conversations and maybe realizing that how things work and how things move through different countries, and that will prevent us from, you know, wasting our time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Tiare, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll do this again sometime next year and catch up.
Thank you, guys.